The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, the show that is part of the Simply Luxurious Life online destination, cultivating true contentment, the art of living a life of quality over quantity. Visit the blog, The Simply Luxurious Life, at our simplified URL, tsll.co, or thesimplyluxuriouslife.com to find the show notes for each podcast episode, as well as much more weekly content to elevate your everyday and deepen your contentment. From a Monday motivational post, recipes, videos of the cooking show series, style and decor inspiration, French and British inspired content, and readers' favorite regular weekly post, This and That, which is posted each Friday morning. Now to today's episode.
Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started.
Welcome to the 333rd episode of The Simple Sophisticate, and welcome to summer and welcome to July. For some reason, July feels as though that is when summer begins, maybe even towards the middle of July, but it definitely has shifted into summer here in Bend, but gradually, which has actually been very nice. On the first day of July, Norman and I hopped up to a high lake, a favorite high lake of ours that is only non-motorized vehicles, so kayaks and paddleboards, anything that that I have to motorize. And I included a picture on my Instagram over the weekend. You can also watch a full video of paddling on this river, or excuse me, this high lake. I paddle on both, but this is a high lake in August's upcoming A Cup of Moments, which is where I share all of the video walks and paddles and skis and snowshoeing that Norman and I do. So if you're curious about what I do out in the outdoors here in Bend, they're very simple, but they're beautiful soul cleansing sort of outings. And Norman is always just so happy to be out there with me. But with that said, on Friday, this past Friday, it was beautiful. Clear skies, but I knew a big storm was coming over the weekend, and indeed it did, and it was just magnificent and awe-inspiring. Norman and I found ourselves inside the house. We had done our gardening in the morning. I say we because he supervises, you know. he tootles about beside me and sniffs this and says hi to the neighbors, sits on the porch, naps when it takes me too long to be outside for in his book, and just soaks up the sun. And I'm so grateful for his companionship. But anyway, so in the afternoon and the evening, we were inside. We were actually watching the Tour de France, and we had hail, we had rain, we had lightning, we had thunder, and it was right over the top of us. And my garden fared fairly well. We lost leaves and things like that, but it was fine, and it was getting moisturized, and it was wonderful. And it was just dark and cozy and yummy. And I poured a cup of tea, and we opened the windows, and it was lovely. Those summer storms are just magical here in Bend. We don't know when we're going to get them. We don't get them very often, but wow, I really enjoyed it. In fact, the hail sizes were about 1.5 to 2 inches wide, almost like a big ice cube, And Norman enjoyed a few. I went out and grabbed a few and he licked them and enjoyed them. But I'm just grateful we had a safe place to be, because watching it, so long as you knew you were safe and your loved ones and animals were safe, it was quite special. But then yesterday, which is today when I'm taping this, Sunday, it was refreshing to be outside. That scent of the rain in the ground, then being hit by the warm summer sun on our walk this morning, having conversations with neighbors and fellow passerbys on our trails and sharing our experiences during that unique storm was fun. Anyway, I've gone on too long, but this is all to say that this is summer in Bend. And since I'm staying home this summer, which I'm welcoming and so grateful for, I'm just soaking up these memories and moments that you never know when they're going to happen. And when they do, just since they're evanescent, just to be fully present was quite fun. And with that said, I know I am not the typical schedule this summer. Most people are traveling this summer, understandably. And so I wanted to pull together an episode today to talk about how to mitigate jet lag. And I say mitigate or lessen because you can't avoid it. It's going to happen when you cross multiple time zones quickly. But I do have some sources for you, as well as I want to share some of my own experiences since I've traveled to Europe quite a few times, to give you some ideas on how to take the toll that it can sometimes be, make it a little less, make it a little easier to navigate through, whether it's arriving at your place that you're traveling to or coming back home. But before I get to that, this week's petit plaisir is a simple one, but we are enjoying fresh food this summer, right, with a lot of the summer produce that's in the markets. And there's a simple way to add a lot of flavor to a favorite fish dish of mine. It takes no more than a couple minutes. And in 10 minutes time after the fish is done cooking, you really have a refreshing meal. So I'm going to share with you that very simple but full of flavor recipe at the end of today's podcast in this week's Petit Plaisir. And I will also share with you at the end of this episode that you have 3 new episodes coming your way this month of July. 3. But the dates are a little wonky. So I want to share with you what those dates are at the end of today's episode, because they are typically the first and third Mondays of each month. And today follows in suit, right? We're the first Monday of the month. But the next 2 episodes are on different dates. And I want to let you know what those are. So stay tuned. But let's talk about jet lag. These are 10 tips and ideas that I have discovered and want to share about how to lessen jet lag. And I'm going to speak specifically to flying from the West Coast of the States to Western Europe. I know you, as listeners, live all around the globe. But if there's any way that what I share can help you fly, depending on the direction I'm going and the direction you might be going when you travel and cross multiple time zones, hopefully this will help. And I think it's important to, when you talk about jet lag with any fellow traveler, to know where you're coming from and how far you've traveled, because that makes a difference on the jet lag that each of us is combating. So that's why I wanted to share that. I'm flying from the West Coast to Western Europe and then back again. So I want to begin with a quote, and this was actually from a recent article in the Financial Times from an actual Boeing 787 pilot for British Airways. And he just wrote a book called Imagine a City, A Pilot's Journey Across the Urban World. This is Mark Van Honacker's quote about jet lag. Here we go. When it comes to jet lag, there ain't. I report from the window seat of a bustling cafe in Montreal, hence this paraphrasing of Leonard Cohen, no cure. Yep, folks, there is no cure for jet lag. It is going to happen. However, we can lessen it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The first time I flew abroad from Oregon to Europe, in my case, I was headed to France, concerns about jet lag were far from my mind. In fact, because I had so many other questions to answer and unknowns dancing in my mind at that time, I didn't think about jet lag. I was 20 at the time and planning a study abroad during my junior summer of college in Angers, France. I saved up for the $800 round trip economy class ticket, and this was back in 2000, so more than 20 years ago, by working 3 part-time jobs, took the necessary prerequisite courses, conferenced with my professeur de français, and along with not knowing I would need an adapter and a converter to, at the very least, blow dry my hair and curl it if I wanted to, I also didn't think to investigate what jet lag was. I was the first member of my immediate family to travel abroad to Europe. I was figuring all of this studying abroad, traveling across multiple time zones. I was figuring it all out for the first time on my own. And jet lag was never a word that popped up in conversations. Now let's fast forward about 10 years to 2012. And this was my second trip to France that included England as well. Thankfully, I had a close friend who, having lived in England for a time and thus traveled back and forth from the West Coast to England often, had a few suggestions for combating jet lag. Nothing worked superbly, but none of the advice hindered my thorough enjoyment of visiting London for the first time and then returning to Paris as well. We just hopped across the channel to Paris for a second week. Jet lag persisted, but if it meant I would be able to be in the two countries I loved, it didn't matter a bit to me that I had to experience it. In fact, I was curious about it. What is this jet lag that everyone's talking about? And to my mind, it was an interesting phenomenon. I was eager and felt fortunate to have the opportunity to explore. Now, since 2000 and 2012, each trip that I have had the opportunity to go on, that would be in 2013, 2017, 2018, 2019, and most recently in 2022, I have gradually tried to tweak, adjust, and determine what works best to mitigate jet lag's effects. And while I have come to the same conclusion as the British Airways pilot I quoted above, as he too shares in his article, and I've linked it on the show notes in the Financial Times, there are ways to lessen the discomfort and the prolonged effects. And I think that's important to explore. It's also important to explain that certain ideas that people share, great, they may work for them, but they may not work for you. And I will address that as well as we go along in our conversation today. But first, it's important to note what jet lag is, because maybe, like me back in 2000, you didn't really know what it was, or wasn't important because you had so many other things you had to worry about that were more important. And I totally understand that. So jet lag is simply any time you travel quickly across two or more time zones and is caused when rapid travel throws off your circadian rhythm, the biological clock that helps control when you wake up and fall asleep. And I've linked the source to that as well, which is simply a WebMD article. The more readers I hear from and fellow travelers that I meet, the more I realize that where you are traveling from, your home departure city, thus the amount of time difference you are undergoing, makes a difference. And so as I mentioned at the top of this episode, I wanted to write specifically from my experience as a traveler from the West Coast of the States to Western Europe, where most of my excursions take me. With that said, as many listeners of this podcast and readers of the Simply Luxurious Life blog are Francophiles and or Anglophiles, and our destinations are the same, even if our departure city is different, it is my hope that with this episode, some of the tips shared today may be applicable when tailored to your flying itinerary. So let's get into this list. Number one, again, coming from the West Coast, going to Western Europe, depart in the early afternoon. When scheduling past trips, excluding my most recent in 2022, I would typically select early morning flights to give myself what I thought would be more time at my desired destination. As well, often earlier flights in the day were a bit less expensive. Now, that has not been the case as of late, but it was in the past, at least for me here flying from PDX. However, when taking the most direct flight possible, leaving in the afternoon on the West Coast has the arrival time in France or England in the early evening the following day, which lends itself well to having a nice meal before exhaustedly going to sleep in a comfortable bed. It is very hard for me, and again, I can only speak from my experience, and I think that's very important. It's very hard for me to not go to sleep when my body is telling me to. And what's helpful when you take the flight is the flight attendants are helping you move in the right direction to reset your circadian rhythms. It's not going to happen in one day, but you can nudge yourself gradually. They've already done some of the work. And so then when you have to then keep yourself up, say you arrive in the morning in Paris or England, and you know you should stay awake the rest of the day, it really is hard to enjoy that day when you're so exhausted. Again, at least for me. So helping myself out, I create a schedule, an itinerary, and I'm either typically flying from Seattle or San Francisco, sometimes Portland. That's been the case in earlier trips, but not recently. And I get a straight flight from those major international airports to either Paris or to London. And most recently, when I arrived in the afternoon at about 7 o'clock in the evening, we went out to dinner. And then, so dinner was at about 9. Then we were in bed at 11, and I fell so quickly to sleep, no problem. Woke up at about 9 o'clock in the next morning, and I already was heading in the right direction of mitigating jet lag like I've never done before, and it felt great. I still felt jet lag that first day, but not to the extreme that I have felt it before. So that's just one idea. Immediately, I noticed a difference. Depart in the early afternoon from the West Coast to Europe. As well, when you leave in the afternoon, this gives you time to gradually begin the day, go through your regular routines, partake in a healthy 30-minute or hour-long exercise routine, and generally prepare to sit for a very long time. When I'm able to exercise and not feel rushed as I begin the day, the rest of the day that follows and any unknowns that pop up are easier to navigate. And I can more easily relax since my body has had the opportunity to fully move, stretch, and receive what it needs. For me, not only do I need a great night's sleep, but knowing that I've had a great workout, that pair helps me to have a great day and also to perhaps help me fall asleep a little easier on the plane. Now let's take a look at number 2, which is a bit of a repeat with number 1, but it bears repeating. I'm just going to say this one again because I think it's important. Whenever you leave, try to make sure you're arriving in the late evening or late afternoon in Europe. If leaving in the early afternoon is not an option, at least try to schedule your arrival in Europe to be in the early evening for the reasons that I just mentioned. You get a good meal and then you can go right to sleep and not have to fight your mind that really wants some rest. Whether you were able to catch some sleep on the plane or not, your mind as well as your body is tired. And after being fed well in your destination city, so go out to a meal somewhere either nearby your accommodations or at your accommodations, your body wants to stretch out and relax. Rather than fight trying to stay awake until night arrives, should you arrive in the morning or early afternoon, when you arrive in the evening, you don't have to fight your body and just let it do what it yearns to do. So that's number 2. Number 3, the fewer connecting flights, the better. If at all possible, scheduling-wise and or budget-wise, choose a direct flight or the closest thing to it. And as many of you know, I live in Bend, Oregon, so I love having our small local airport here in Redmond. We just get on the plane in Redmond, very few people as far as lines are concerned, and hop on the plane that takes us either to Portland or San Francisco or Seattle. And then I take my direct flight from there. Not only do you save time when you schedule a direct flight, but it is less stressful. Thus, it doesn't exhaust your mind unnecessarily, which is already going to be confused when you arrive due to the time change. Mind exhaustion on top of jet lag prolongs your ability to adjust, and the shorter the hop, the less stress incurred. Understandably, this is a budget issue as well, and until I was able to actually afford a direct flight or save up for it, I had to do multiple flights too. But I also, even when I was very young and very fit and had a lot more energy, I feel as though it still took a dramatic toll. And so I'm willing to wait a little longer before I go on my next trip to be able to purchase a direct flight. But I know it's not always going to be an option, just something that has helped mitigate jet lag for me. Now, on today's show notes, I've included a few pictures from my most recent flight from the windows of the airplane, like we do, right? We're looking out, and one of them is looking over the city of London, over Prince Albert Royal Hall, and the other is looking out over the farmland of Normandy in France, if you want to take a pop over to the show notes today. So that's number three. Number four, try to sleep on the flight. I know. There's a lot of suggestions on how to get that sleep. I've tried the neck pillow. I've tried Tylenol PM. I've tried a lot of those things that try to convince my brain that it should go to sleep, even though it says to me, no, I don't. Here's what's worked for me. Even if only for a few hours, do your best to find a way to experience real sleep. Real sleep where the hours invisibly whisk by and you wake up feeling somewhat, if not quite a bit, rested and energized. In my experience, the fewer hours I'm able to sleep on the trip, the harder or longer jet lag is to recover from on that particular end of the trip. Now, everyone is going to be different in the regards to how they can get sleep. This is where you have to know yourself. You have to know what works. You have to know what reduces your body temperature, what makes you feel relaxed, because you need this is more than just telling yourself to sleep. Your body has to want to fall asleep. Your mind has to want to fall asleep. And for me, on these long flights, I change into my PJs. I put on linen pajamas. Now, in business class, you can change in the restroom, but I've also, in business class, you have your own little cubby, and you can actually fairly easily change there. If nothing else, just change your pants so that you have really comfy pants and you can really stretch out. But I have had a hard time sleeping in economy class or even economy premium. Number five is where I'm going to get my sleep. And when I did get my sleep, it made a whale of a difference. Number five is invest in business class if and when possible. In episode 329, I shared my experience flying business class on British Airways during my recent trip in April 2022 to Britain and France. This was the first time I have ever done this. Needless to say, even if it takes a bit longer to save up for each subsequent trip abroad in order to fly in such comfort, I will do it. I will save up for business class. It is worth it, largely because of the reduction of stress and my ability to sleep well. Because not getting a good night's sleep, especially when I don't get any sleep, it affects so much about my mind and my being and my ability to engage and focus and enjoy. So as I share in number four above, when you sleep well during the flight, you reduce, you cannot eliminate, but you can reduce jet lag. So figure out what works for you. You know, take in all the suggestions that people have. Maybe something that they share will work for you. It just never has for me. Those other things that I spoke about, the Tylenol PM, the, you know, the different melanoma, all those different things that I have heard, they've never worked for me. So back to my flight in business class to Europe. I was able to get at least 4 hours of sleep on my way to Europe on the first leg of the trip. So going to England and Paris, because we hopped just over the channel real quick. And while I did feel the effects of jet lag for about 2 days upon arrival, this was far better than it has been in the past. No doubt my excitement being back in Paris and England helped to overcome some of the feeling. But as I assess what else may have contributed to an easing of this expected feeling of exhaustion, confusion, malaise, and inability to sleep naturally, the one primary variable that was different was the flight I chose and the amount of sleep and quality of sleep I received. Now, I include a picture. It's nothing fancy, but I include a picture of my business class seats and all the little extra accoutrements they provide for a good night's sleep. They provide bed sheets. They provide pillows, nice pillows, decent pillows. And all of this came from the White Company. They really do give you all these amenities to help you sleep well. And then you can stretch out, completely stretch out, flat as a rail, and sleep. And I'm pretty tall. I'm 5'11". And I had room to spare, and I was very comfortable. So that's number five. If you can, it is worth it. If jet lag is a big problem, it is definitely something that enabled me to enjoy my trip even more. Number six, hydrate as much as possible while flying. Understandably, while toasting with sparkling wine as the journey begins is tempting and certainly something I enjoy doing as well. But refrain from too much alcohol as it will dehydrate you. And this actually does contribute to more jet lag. The dehydration. Instead, seek out as much water as you can, and even the multiple bathroom runs are good for you as it gets you up and out of your seat, which is an activity that helps set your circadian rhythms into the new rhythm that you want it to be at. The more you can do to set your circadian rhythm to knowing when it needs to be awake and when it needs to rest, the more quickly your mind will be able to settle into the new sleep schedule. And this is the reason why airlines dim the entire cabin uniformly for everyone. And when they set the meals as they do, they are trying to help you out. Even if it's hard to jump right into it, you likely won't be able to jump right into it. But at least you're slowly nudging your brain and body to that setting. So that's number 6, hydrate as much as possible while flying. Number 7, I love this one and I find it to be so helpful. Take a hot bath before bed. If you've arrived at your new destination and you have the opportunity to have a bathtub in your vacation rental, your hotel room, and you can't go to sleep, take a hot bath. Whether at your travel destination or even when you arrive home, just before you go to bed, take this hot bath as it will help to relax the body and, interestingly enough, does drop the body temperature, which is what you need to fall asleep. I did this in when we got to London, I had a bath and I had one of the deepest night's sleeps after I had the opportunity to take a hot bath. And I know there were other factors of me being exhausted too, but wow, I can completely attest to this. And I especially enjoy when I come home from a trip, whether it's in the late morning, early afternoon, but obviously in the evening, taking a hot bath. I'm usually so exhausted I can fall right to sleep when I get home because I'm on the West Coast. But a bath ensures this will be a deep night's sleep. Even if it's a small bathtub, hop on in, turn the hot water on and the bubbles, and just try to take a few more deep breaths and let the body unwind. So that's number 7. Number 8, begin to simulate ever so slightly and gradually the new time zone before you leave. Now, while a subtle shift at home may not seem beneficial, for me, this is actually quite possible as I like to go to bed early, and an excuse to go to bed 1 hour sooner and wake up 1 hour earlier is not a detriment to my schedule or to my preferences. Of course, this will depend on your work and home schedule, but if you can, a few days before, a week before, starting to nudge your body to either go to bed earlier if you're on the West Coast as I am, or later if you're flying west to get to Europe, it will definitely be a nudge to help you lessen the effects of jet lag when you get there. So that's number 8. Number 9, be gentle and patient with yourself. Gradually shift into the new schedule. And this goes for when you come home too. Be gentle with yourself. It's going to take time to work through the jet lag. Our mind, thus our brain, is a wonderful tool, but it takes time to change them. And that's not a bad thing, because you don't want one negative experience to completely change your mind. And as much as we want a good experience to become a new habit immediately, it's important to know that such a change is not going to just magically start happening. And this includes how our body knows, our mind knows, when it's time to go to sleep and when it's time to wake up. When our sleep schedule becomes disrupted, our mind is essentially confused as to what it's supposed to do. So be gentle and be patient. When I returned home this past April, it took about 7 to 10 days to get over my jet lag. Finding myself falling asleep on the sofa at 5 p.m. with eyelids I could not bribe to stay open at any cost. I mean, they weighed 500 pounds. They were going to shut whether I wanted them to or not. I let myself fall asleep. And I then the next day would push myself to stay awake till 6 and then let myself fall asleep. And then it really was an hour progression every night. And then once I got to the 9 o'clock is usually when I would fall asleep typically, It still took a few days for my body to settle into that and my mind to say, okay, we're back in the groove, Shannon. Thank you for having patience with me. So just be gentle and gradual with yourself. Again, I know when we get to our destination, we want to be in the schedule that that place is on. But this is even all the more reason to let yourself relax. Number one, you're on vacation or holiday. So there's another reason to just let it, you know, be as it is and do as you need. But when you come home and you step back into your everyday schedule, know that you may want to get back into that everyday hourly schedule, whatever it may be, with everyone else too that maybe didn't travel with you. But communicate that this is going to be a little while. And just know you might be not wanting to make big decisions or engage in stressful conversations because your mind may not be at its sharpest. So again, just be gentle. Those were the 9 things that I do to mitigate and lessen jet lag. And I continue to adjust and learn, but this past trip, I learned so much and understood so much more about what really does work for me. Now, with all of that said, number 10, last but not least, understand there are many jet lag remedies, but honor what works for you. I won't list the suggestions I have received over the years that I haven't found helpful for me. I mentioned a few at the top of the list just to give you some ideas because I know those ideas do work for other people. They just did not work for me. You're also going to run up against a lot of beliefs from other travelers about what is most difficult. For example, the direction of the flight that's most difficult, west or east. Again, it may be the case for them, but honor what is true for you. However, sharing what has worked and why I have discovered it works for me, had I been able to understand these truths so many years ago, is something I would have loved to have known earlier in my travels, but likely could not have known. Because again, a lot of people are going to try to help you out, but you kind of have to go through this experience on your own and apply what works for you. Knowing that I needed to, for want of a better phrase, feel my way through jet lag to figure out what happens and how I respond to it gave me the tools to figure out how to reduce its effects that most negatively affected me. Self-awareness not only helps live a life you love living in a general overarching way, we must not forget that this also includes how to work with jet lag. Self-knowledge, self-clarity. So for example, as an HSP, a highly sensitive person, sleep is especially important. Whereas for non-HSPs, being able to function well on 5 to 7 hours of sleep may be no problem. Not the case for me. I need 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night if I'm going to have a day where I can be fully present, engaged, patient, responsive rather than reactive. So now that I know the value of sleep for my well-being, I invest in ensuring I receive a good night's sleep when I travel as I want to enjoy my trip as much as possible. And that includes on the flight. So that's number 10. Understand that there are many jet lag remedies, but honor what works for you. When we have the fortunate opportunity to travel abroad and cross many time zones, the price of jet lag is a small price to expense. But being aware of how it affects our minds and physical well-being is helpful so that we don't blame our mental lag on the destination, but rather our minds gradual settling in to the new time zone we have taken it to. I hope this list has been helpful in some way. Just if nothing else, go, oh, okay. Now I understand why I felt that way when I arrived, or now I know it wasn't the destination. It was because I needed more rest and it takes time to acquire natural and good deep sleep. So whenever you travel abroad, or if you are currently traveling abroad right now, I hope you have a wonderful trip and many stamps in your passport. Bon voyage. All right. Feel free to check out that list in the show notes at thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast333. And I'm going to be back with this week's delicious petit plaisir. This week's petit plaisir is a recipe. I haven't shared a recipe in a while, and I wanted to share something that is very simple, delicious, and something that you can make in fewer than 10 minutes. quite regularly, I go to my cookbook library, which I shared in season 3 of the Simply Luxurious Life Kitchen Cooking Show. And I love having my cookbooks all in one place. Now, I try not to follow recipes word for word, but if it's something new or something I haven't done, I'm going to follow a recipe from someone who knows a heck of a lot more than I do. Now, there is one fish item that I always tend to gravitate towards here in the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, and that is salmon. There are so many different ways to cook it, but it really, it's a simple fish that has so much flavor all on its own. You don't have to do too much. Case in point, I said, well, I wanted some new ideas for this because, like I said, I cook it a lot, but let's see what another cook or chef has up their sleeve. And so I went to Nigel Slater because I have Nigel Slater. You can't go wrong with going to Nigel Slater. And I picked up his notes from the larder and I went to the index and I looked for salmon. And he has a very simple approach to a salmon dish, and it's just simply herb salmon. Now, I took his recipe and I tweaked it for what I had in my garden and in my kitchen at the time. And I want to share with you what I did, but I'll also share with you what he suggests. And you'll have a dinner to enjoy and pair it with whatever vegetable salad you want in 10 minutes. And especially when you don't want to be standing in front of the stove for that long, this is a wonderful recipe that still enables you to enjoy a warm dinner. So herb salmon is just what it sounds like. You're going to want to find a couple of different herbs from your garden, fresh herbs. I had basil and Italian parsley, Italian flatleaf parsley. And I chopped those up finely, but they don't have to be. They can also be rough. And you just want a couple of tablespoons of each of those. You put that in a small bowl. You add about 2 to 3 tablespoons of olive oil. Try to find the best olive oil you can, but if you just have your regular extra virgin olive oil that you cook with every day, that is perfectly fine. Add that to the herbs. And then I did not have limes on this particular day, but I had salmon. I was like, I've got to eat my salmon. I want to enjoy this. I did have lemons. So I added the zest and about a squeeze of lemon into this mixture of herbs and oil. He suggests adding lime. He also added tarragon to his herbs. Again, it's what you like and what you have for these fresh herbs. And these are fine herbs, as you're probably noticing. Basil and parsley are fine herbs, as is tarragon. You might even use the French version of parsley, which is chervil. It has a little bit of anise flavor, but a little bit of parsley flavor. I love that. I have that in my garden as well. Then you take your salmon fillet, slice into pieces, or you could cook the whole fillet as one, and you take out any small bones if you can see it. And there's a simple way to take out the small bones. If you have a small mixing bowl, place the salmon skin side against the pan, skin side against the mixing bowl that's standing upside down. So you're looking at the bottom of the mixing bowl. The fish is draped over it, skin side to the bowl. And usually those little bones will pop up. And I can pull them out with my fingers most of the time, but if you can't, grab tweezers and you can pull them out. Get rid of those. Season it, salt and pepper, and then put the fish into the bowl with the herbs. Or if your bowl with the herbs and the oil is too small, put the fish on a flat plate that has a small edge and just pour those herbs and the oil and the lime or lemon, in my case, all the way over the top. Now, he says to actually store or let it sit or marinate with the herb mixture. I did not. I let it sit for maybe 1 or 2 minutes while I prepared other things. Heated the pan up. I used a cast iron pan, put it on low to medium heat. And then I just put that salmon, having been dressed and marinated for just a couple minutes, into the skillet over with a little bit of olive oil in the pan. And it was infused with the herbs. I tasted it. It was wonderful. All you need to do is cook it for 3 to 4 minutes on each side. And again, this depends on the thickness of the salmon. So watch and adjust, and then flip it over and you cook for 1 to 2 minutes on the second side. Again, depends on the thickness. I usually cook with sockeye salmon, but there's so many different lovely salmons. King salmon, Copper River salmon, Atlantic salmon, so many. And that's it. That's it. Herb salmon. I'll provide the recipe on the blog, but hopefully my walkthrough there was easy enough. As I said, just chop up a total of 4 tablespoons of fresh herbs, put in 2 to 3 tablespoons of olive oil, zest, and 1 good squeeze of citrus, whether it's lemon or lime. Let your seasoned salmon soak in it for a couple minutes at least, and then cook it. Oh, so good on top of the stovetop. All right, that is your petit plaisir for the first week of July. I do hope you enjoy this recipe. It is so simple. Truly, you can have it on your plate in 10 minutes. Pair with a glass of cold rosé, chilled white wine. Oh, so good. At the end of every episode, as you know, this is where we share ideas to make the everyday all the more enjoyable and delicious. Tune in at the end of each episode where I'll recommend a book, a film, a show, a recipe, anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Now, as I mentioned at the top of today's episode, there are 3 new episodes this month of July. And this first one is today, this 4th of July. Happy 4th if you're celebrating the 4th of July. But the next 2 episodes, and this was a snafu on my part, I completely misplaced these two. I completely put the 2 dates for my advertisers on different dates. I pushed them back a week. The next 2 new episodes are on Monday the 11th, so next Monday, and then in 2 weeks' time after that, on the 25th of July, Monday the 25th. So this month you have episodes on the first Monday, the second Monday, and the 4th Monday. This is an anomaly. This is not typically what's going to happen. And anyway, I'm going with it. And I just want to give you a heads up so you can look forward to a new episode next week, which will be for Francophiles as we get ready to celebrate Bastille Day. And then the 25th episode, the episode on the 25th, will be about savoring summer at home and all of what that can be. I want to thank you for tuning in today, wishing you a wonderful brand new month and a wonderful first full week in July. Until next Monday, bonne journée. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, visit the blog The Simply Luxurious Life with the shortened URL tsll.co. And to welcome Simply Luxurious Living into your everyday life, be sure to check out my new book, The Road to Le Papillon, Daily Meditations on True Contentment, which was just released in March 2022 and became a #1 bestseller in France Travel and a #1 new release in France Travel in all 4 formats, hardback, paperback, audio, and ebook. For more in-depth exploration of how to cultivate your own unique, simply luxurious life, be sure to pick up my first 2 books. Each are available in hardback, paperback, ebook, and at Audible for audio listening. The first is titled Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, and the second, Living the Simply Luxurious Life. Readers can now join the more intimate Simply Luxurious Life international community by becoming members of the blog, which provides ad-free, unlimited reading and access to exclusive content such as each month's A Cup of Moments video chat, tours of my home, Le Papillon, the regular monthly post, What Made Me Smile, and Saturday Ponderings, as well as the opportunity to enter all of the giveaways during French and British weeks. To stay caught up on all things Simply Luxurious, the podcast, blog post, and the cooking show, as well as receive exclusive news and an extra dose of inspiration to jumpstart your new month, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's free monthly newsletter, which arrives on the last day of each month. And there's a weekly newsletter, a favorite of listeners and readers, which is also free and arrives each Friday to keep you caught up on the recent weekly posts on the blog. Enjoy with a hot cup of tea or a cup of morning coffee and stay in the know about all things Simply Luxurious. Thank you for tuning in today. And beginning in September 2022, look for 2 new episodes on the 1st and 3rd Wednesdays of each month. So a small change to the day of the week this podcast will be shared, but always the 1st and 3rd week of every month, a new episode to listen to. To be alerted to new episodes and when they become available, follow on Instagram, The Simple Sophisticate Podcast, and only the news about this show will be shared. Until next time, I'm your host, Shannon Abels. Bonjourne.